Oh, praise the Lord, folks. Good singing tonight. And for our final hymn, let's stand and we'll open up to 164. 164, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. John Newton wrote, and as we all know, the autobiography of John Newton is something where he lost his four daughters. They went down in a ship at sea. And after that, he wrote Amazing Grace. Wow. I'm sorry, it is well. It is well with my soul. Praise the Lord. We're going to sing. I'm not sure on the stanzas, but we'll find out right quick. Piano sounding good. Sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Seated, church. Praise the Lord. And what a wonderful message this morning concerning Beyond the Veil. And it's funny because I had my Bible still open to those closing verses in Hebrews chapter 10. Boy, oh boy. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter in to the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us, that through the veil, beyond the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Wow. Boy, that verse 20. I tell you, you could spend a lifetime just studying that verse. Through his flesh, we have access. Well, praise the Lord, folks. We will sing again after, but let's grab our Bibles at this time and open up to 2 Corinthians tonight, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And, of course, we are, there go the sirens, something going on. And it's unbelievable. My sister and I, we talk every day, and we're just talking about how every day now, there's either a terrorist attack, a bombing somewhere, shooting, stabbing, all kinds of evil in the world. And just before we came to church, CNN was breaking news on CNN that a guy in Central Park, New York, stepped on an IED and blew his foot off. Somebody planted that. We've got evil people in this world, but I'm so glad that there's God's people. Amen? Glory to God. Now, as we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, tonight is week 8 in the Shekinah glory in history and prophecy. Tonight, as we come to our 8th week of studies on the Shekinah, we've seen 4 of the 7 New Testament appearances of the Shekinah. Now we come tonight to appearance number 5. And the 5th appearance of the Shekinah in the New Testament is called the reflection of the Shekinah. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Before we read, keep in mind that just as Moses for a time reflected the Shekinah glory which he beheld at Sinai, when God manifested himself to him in a greater way, so too do true believers also today reflect that glory of the Messiah, who was an even greater manifestation of the Shekinah. Look with me here at verse 12. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 12. We read, "Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Now, folks, here in these verses, the imagery Paul uses is taken from the account of the reflecting of that glory through Moses' face. All right, now listen. It's pointed out here in verses 12 and 13 that Moses' face was veiled so that the fading away of that glory, the glory of Sinai and the law, should not be seen by the Jews. Now, the significance of, look at verse 12 before we move on to verse 13. "Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech." He's saying we don't cover it up with a veil. We speak it boldly and plainly. That's the gospel, the greater glory. Now, the significance of verse 13 is that to this very day, Israel is still blinded to the fact that the glory of the law at Sinai is now faded away since Messiah's coming and resurrection. Go to Matthew chapter 27. In Matthew 27, remember, Paul said that the veil is still upon their hearts. In Matthew 27, look at verse 51. 50. "Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost." Crucifixion. Death on the cross. "And behold, the veil of the temple," we talked about it this morning, "was rent in twain," that's two, "from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake and the rocks rent. Wow. Something phenomenal was taking place. The Old Testament dispensation was being abolished. And Jesus Christ, through his sacrificial death on the cross, opened up a new way for man to approach the Father. In Exodus chapter 34, go back with me to Exodus. The significance of 2 Corinthians chapter 3 is absolutely monumental when it comes to Israel. In Exodus chapter 34, look with me at verse 32. Watch what the Holy Ghost records through Moses' pen. And afterward, all the children of Israel came nigh, and he, Moses, gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And till Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. 35. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses. He forgot to put it back on. That the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him, the Lord. So here we find that when Moses would come out to speak to the people, he was told by God to put the veil on his face so that they could not behold the glory of the Lord. Are you following me? The Israelites could not behold the glory of the Lord through the law. Okay? That's why he covered his face. Now, in verses back to our text in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, that's very significant. Keep that in mind as we continue here. The veil was on his face before the people. In verse 14 and 15, we are next told that Israel has a veil over them as a nation in two specific areas, their minds and their hearts. Look at it. Verses 13, 14, we read, "But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil covering, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, the law, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart." Now, before we continue, I want you to notice that Moses is speaking of Israel as one. Because he's speaking about the elect nation. That's very important. We'll get to the individuals, but hang on. Now, the proof of this national blindness is found in verse 14. He says, in, watch it, the reading of the Old Testament. So, the problem here is that Israel is unable to perceive the dispensation of grace because they still cling to the dispensation of law. Okay? They choose Moses over the Son of God. Which dispensation, speaking of the dispensation of law, ended at the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Go to Romans chapter 11. Flip back to Romans chapter 11. We're going to see this in detail here. In Romans 11, look at verse 7. Question, what then? Israel, now is that talking about an individual or a nation? That's right, Ellie. It's the elect nation. Israel hath not obtained, because why? Because individual Jews do get saved, just like individual Gentiles do. But not all Jews get saved and not all Gentiles get saved, right? All right. In chapter 11, Paul will speak of the Gentiles as one, the Gentiles. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Verse 7 reveals there's two Israels. There's the election, that's those who accept Messiah and are born again just like you and me, and then there's Israel as a whole. All Jews are part of the elect nation, though they're not saved. All right? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we've read this in our studies here, but look at it again. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, these are those who are lost, including Jews who are lost in whom the god of this world hath what? Blinded. The what? Minds. Here's the problem with Israel. Satan has blinded them to the gospel. The minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto Shekinah unto them. Now, here we see the root cause of their blindness. The devil, just like a lost Gentile, he's blinded by Satan. He doesn't know it, but he is. John's Gospel. Go to John's Gospel, chapter 12. Watch what Jesus says in John chapter 12, verse 37. Verse 37, we read, "But though he," Jesus, Messiah, "had done so many miracles before them," the Jews, "yet they believed not on him." Why? "That the saying," prophecy, "of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report?" That's Isaiah 53, verse 1, right? That's a prophecy of the gospel being rejected, not believed. "And to whom hath the arm of the Lord," Jesus Christ is the arm of the Lord, "been revealed? Therefore they," that's the nation as a whole, not individuals, but the nation as a whole, "could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart," there's the mind and heart again, "that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory." Notice the word glory. Skenei, Shekinah. "And spake of him." Remember Isaiah chapter 6? And we're going to see this in next week. We'll be beginning the teachings in the Shekinah glory in prophecy. We've been looking at the Shekinah glory in history. Next week we're going to start the Shekinah glory in prophecy. "Isaiah saw his glory," his Shekinah, "and spake of him." Now here we see clearly that the prophecy of Isaiah was given by the Holy Ghost, knowing that the elect nation as a whole would reject Jesus Christ. Okay? So he could say that before they ever did. Only God can do that, by the way. Now something else. Back to our text. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Notice Paul's prophecy of Israel's coming national regeneration. Look at verse 16. This is fascinating. He says, nevertheless, verse 15, "But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their hearts." Doesn't say upon his heart as an individual, but them as a nation. See it? Follow the context. 16, "Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away." Now, the Lord showed me something yesterday in my preparation of this message. What is the "it" of verse 16, somebody? Bingo! She got it! I thought for sure I was going to catch somebody on this one. It's a twofold meaning, but the doctrinal meaning is the elect nation Israel. When he says "it," he's speaking about the elect nation. Even though individual Jews get saved, we know that the "it" means for individuals, their heart. Okay, when their heart turns to the Lord, the veil's taken away. We know that. But doctrinally speaking, Paul is prophesying of a coming national conversion of the nation of Israel. Okay? Now listen carefully. Doctrinally speaking, referring to the elect nation, Paul says that there will be a national, universal conversion one day of every single living Jew simultaneously on planet Earth. You say, "Pastor, that's impossible." Yeah, with man it is, but not with God. God's word confirms what I'm teaching you tonight over and over and over again, that all Israel will be saved in a day. A nation will be born in a day. They'll be born again. In a moment. And you know what, folks? As we remember, some of you remember from the teachings in the book of Revelation, Messiah will not touch down on planet Earth until every Jew calls upon him to come and rescue them. and they shall be delivered, and they'll be regenerated at that moment. Then he'll come down when they welcome him. See? That'll happen. That will happen. Now, go to Romans chapter 1. I'm sorry, Romans chapter 11. In Romans chapter 11, we have an incredible passage of Scripture. Paul is speaking first about a group of people called Israel as a whole. Then he is speaking about a group of people called Gentiles as a whole. Okay? This is where a lot of theologians get messed up doctrinally, teaching you can lose your salvation. No, but the offer of grace can be taken away, you know, from a people group called the Gentiles. That's what he's saying here. Look in Romans 11, verse 25. Here it is. For I would not, brethren, say people, that ye should be ignorant, unknowing, of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness, in part, is happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so, obviously, after the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, all Israel shall be saved. Do you know what God means when he uses the little three-letter word all? Oh yeah, he means all. As it is written, there shall come out of Sion the Deliverer, capital D, it's Messiah. And he shall turn away ungodliness from who? Jacob. Now what did I teach you? When you see the name Jacob in the Bible, it is always talking about ethnic Israel, Jews. Israel was his spiritual name. Jacob was his physical name, his fleshly human name, ethnicity. For this is my covenant unto them. Who is the them of verse 27, somebody? Israel. It's not tight. The Gentiles are done. The fullness came in already. This is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. He hadn't done it yet, folks. They're still in sin, Israel, as a whole. As concerning the gospel, they're enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election of who? Individual? No. National. They are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye, Gentiles, in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. The gospel came to us Gentiles. Even so have these, Jews, also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. How many times does the Holy Spirit use the word all in this passage? He wants us to understand that there is coming a day when all Israel shall be saved. Simultaneously, instantaneously, at once. Yes, it's coming. It's coming at the end of the tribulation period. Back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now remember, in Exodus chapter 34, when Moses turned away from the people and went into the Lord, the veil was removed. And in the same way, when the Jews, all of them, turn away from the law of Moses unto Jesus Messiah, the national veil will be removed. But not until that day comes, even though individual Jews today, like Gentiles, are being saved. Go back to verse 16 and you'll see it clearer now. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. From who? From all Israel. It's a prophecy. I love that. All right. Next, in verse 17, we find the missing key in Israel's blindness. That is the Holy Spirit. Look at it. Now the Lord is that Spirit. Here's what the Jews lack, the Holy Spirit. Now listen, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. All right, finally, in verse 18, Paul reveals the actual reflection of the Shekinah by every true believer today. Listen carefully. The born-again believer today beholds the glory of the Lord in the Messiah, Jesus Christ, with an unveiled face. Remember Moses went in and he took the veil off? Why? Because he was in the presence of God. And when we go before God, we don't have to cover up something, okay? And now, we go into the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, with an unveiled face. And he or she is thereby transformed into that same image of who? Jesus Christ. Which Paul describes as being, look at it, verse 18, from glory, Shekinah, to glory, Shekinah. Someone has the glory and they're transferring it. Now watch. There is a transference taking place in verse 18. And it's being done by the Holy Spirit, not the believer. Man can't do this. It takes the Spirit of God. Now, listen carefully. It is Jesus Christ who possesses the all-consuming glory of the Shekinah. And it is the believer today who reflects that glory to a lost and dark world. Okay? Ye are the what? Light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 1 quickly before we go to our second appearance. In Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse 6. He says, 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise... Now watch this. Yeah, you've been adopted by God, but why? To the praise of the glory, Shekinah, of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. We are to reflect the glory of his grace. See that? Drop down to verse 12. That we should be to the praise of whose glory? His glory. Yes, you have the Shekinah in you because you have the Holy Spirit. But that's not for you. That's his glory in you. Keep that in mind. Who first trusted in Christ. Verse 14. Which is the earnest, the Holy Spirit, of our inheritance in heaven. Until the redemption of the purchased possession, that's your physical body, unto the praise of his glory. How many times does Paul use this verbiage? To the praise of his glory. It's a transference. Verse 18, you can't claim it. You've inherited it. You've been given it by a gift of God. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory, Shekinah, of his inheritance in the saints. Where is his glory? It's in the saints. George, I knew you were going to like this tonight. I told Ellie yesterday at the barbecue, we had a cookout, and I said, you're going to like tomorrow night's message. I know it. But this is what it is, folks. Now, what is this? This is our fifth appearance of the Shekinah in the New Testament. It's called the reflection of the Shekinah. Sixthly, we have a sixth appearance of the Shekinah glory in the book of Acts. Go with me to Acts chapter 2. In the book of Acts, we have a sixth appearance of the Shekinah. Acts chapter 2. You know, as Bible-believing Baptist preachers, we need never, ever shy away from preaching on the Holy Ghost. Ever. Don't let the Pentecostals and the Charismatics rob you of the riches of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is his dispensation after all. In Acts chapter 2, the Shekinah appears in two passages in the book of Acts. First, in Acts chapter 2, look at verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven, as of, not from Benny Hinn, from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind. It's the Spirit of God. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And, watch this, it's a Shekinah. Remember the definition of Shekinah is the literal, visible appearance of the glory of God. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of what? Fire. It could be seen. And it sat, I defy any of these charismatic Pentecostal churches to perform this act. I defy them. Won't happen. Don't hold your breath. And tongues like as a, because this is the real deal, like a fire, and it sat upon each of them. Now notice the Shekinah is upon each of the believers, okay? What is God doing in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 3? He is manifesting that his glory is now being bestowed upon the church. Wow. Whew, this will preach. Now, here in chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, the actual visibility of the tongues of fire sitting upon each believer was the literal visible appearance of the Shekinah, following the Old Testament pattern of the Shekinah appearing in the form of fire. Remember, we saw it so many times as a fire in the Old Testament. Secondly, there's another passage in chapter 9. Go to Acts chapter 9. Oh yeah, the Shekinah is alive and well in the New Testament. And Paul beheld it in Acts chapter 9. Look with me in Acts 9, verse 3. And as he, Paul, journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? Notice the wording. In verse 5, Paul knew that this being was from heaven and that it was the God of Israel, because he calls him Lord, Yahweh, God of Israel. Notice the capital L. And the Lord said, I am Jesus. He is revealing his name to Paul, okay? Whom thou persecutest, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord. Now, Paul just called Jesus Christ Lord, God of Israel. See it? Lord, eternal I am, self-existent one, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from, they couldn't see the Shekinah. Saul arose from the earth. And when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But his eyes are open now, but he can't see anybody. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. All right. This second appearance of the Shekinah in Acts is actually recorded in three separate places of the book. First, here in chapter 9. So clearly, God's Holy Spirit desires that we would see and understand, beloved, that the Shekinah is present throughout the entire history of man on earth, only that it appears in many different forms, including its reflection from true believers. Now, the second passage is found in Acts 22. Turn there. Acts 22. Many times we see it appearing as a great light. And here again, Paul is rehearsing what he saw on the road to Damascus. In Acts 22, look with me at verse 6. And of course, Paul is preaching up a storm here. And he says in verse 6, rehearsing his testimony. Paul had a great testimony. And it came to pass that as I made my journey, he loved to tell his testimony. He really enjoyed it. Anywhere he could get a little group to give him his testimony. It came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly, that's the highest point of the sun during the day, so it wasn't the sun. Suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me, and I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he answered unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. So some heard it and some didn't, according to these two passages. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory, Shekinah, of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came to Damascus. Here is a second appearance. And here, in this account, Paul gives testimony of his personal encounter with the Shekinah. Glory. He names it the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thirdly, go to Acts 26. In Acts chapter 26, we have a third account of the same incident. In Acts 26, Paul, of course, is before Agrippa. And he's giving his testimony, which he loved to do. Before the whole court, he's giving his testimony. Everybody, with a loud voice. Verse 13. At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven. Notice the source never changes. Paul knew where it came from. Above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue. Notice that God spake Hebrew to Paul. I'm not gonna camp on that, but that's interesting tidbit right there. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now, by the way, folks, the connotation there that God spake in the Hebrew tongue is that God is the God of the Hebrews, okay? He didn't speak in Arabic. All right. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people, that's the Jews, and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, and inheritance amongst them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Wow, what a passage. Now, here again, Paul speaks of his personal encounter with the Shekinah. So, in chapter 9, in verse 3, the Shekinah is described as a light shining out of heaven. In chapter 22, verse 6, it is described as being a great light out of heaven, which light blinded Paul temporarily. In verse 11, and in chapter 26 and verse 13, it is said to be above the brightness of the sun. So it's the Shekinah glory that appeared to commission Paul to be the apostle to the Gentiles, unquestionably. But there's a final appearance of the Shekinah glory in the New Testament. And we'll look at it right now. It is called the Shekinah glory in the Revelation. Go with me to Revelation chapter 1. In Revelation chapter 1. The final appearance of the Shekinah is in its ultimate form. And it appears to who? The Apostle John. Oh, what a passage of Scripture this is. John remembered seeing it on the Mount of Transfiguration, like Peter and James. Oh, yeah. And here he sees it in all its glorious luster. Oh, in Revelation chapter 1. Look with me at verse number 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and I'm alive forevermore. Amen. Folks, it's the Shekinah. Because according to verse 16, the countenance of his face shone. Look at it. Look at it. In verse 16, his countenance was as the sun shineth in its strength, pure brightness of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Right there. It's the Shekinah. Now, in closing, in verse 17, I'm sorry, let me correct that. That's get the right verse here for you. Verse 16, actually. We find that in very deed, when John turned to see him, before he passed out, he saw the Shekinah glory of God all over the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, what am I saying tonight? I'm saying Jesus Christ is the Shekinah glory. You've got to get that straight. Jesus Christ is the Shekinah glory. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for the 7 New Testament appearances coupled with the 13 Old Testament appearances of the Shekinah. Lord, I'm so thankful that so far we've seen our first 3 portions of the study. We saw the definition of the Shekinah glory in week 1. And then the subsequent weeks, we saw the Shekinah glory in the history of the Old Testament. In the following weeks, we saw the Shekinah glory in the history of the New Testament. And next week, finally, Lord, we'll come to the Shekinah glory in prophecy. Lord, I'm so glad that your word said it before it happened. Lord, I'm so glad that we know the end from the beginning. I'm so glad that you tell the truth, you never lie, and you are altogether lovely and glorious. We love you tonight, Lord, and studying about your Shekinah glory draws us closer to thee. It causes us to adore thee even more. It causes us to love you more and more each and every day. We thank you for the studies in Jesus Christ's name. The people said, amen. Amen. Folks, let's grab our hymnals at this time. We will stand and finish up with in him in closing tonight. Let's go to 302. Ellie's favorite, 302. What a great, great hymn of the faith this is. And he will come again one day soon. We know that. Come thou fount, amen. Yes. Love the words to this hymn. Tune mine heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon, it mount of thy redeeming love. Here I'll raise my life's praise to heaven's pride, to heaven's praise, and I'll go by thy good pleasure safely to the revenues. Jesus sought me when a indeed. Praise the Lord, people. What a blessing we've had today in the house of the Lord. Well, Wednesday night, if you can, 7 o'clock, praise be to God. Father, we do pray for those who are ill tonight. We think of Sister June and hurting from that fall. We pray you just raise her up from that sick bed, heal her. I want to pray for Sarah tonight, Lord. Sarah is really hurting. And Miriam said she's going back to the doctor Friday. And I pray they get to the bottom of this bleeding. Lord, that they could find out exactly what needs to be done to correct that situation. Make her whole again. We miss her here in church. We love her, Lord. We pray you'd raise her up. And Lord, bring her back to your house. Oh God, we pray for Sarah. And all the others, Lord, who are not doing well. We think of Paul's dad with the back problems that he's suffering. And oh Lord, those slip discs got to be mighty, mighty painful. We pray for a miracle of healing for him. And dear Lord, of course, that he would come to know you personally. And for all the rest, Lord, those who are away, give them traveling mercies. Those who are not feeling well, raise them up. And give us a great week, Lord, of serving thee. And we thank you for this Independence Holiday weekend, 4th of July. We thank you, Lord, that we understand what it's all about. Truly, because of your word, because of your Holy Spirit within, we have eyes to see and ears to hear. We're so grateful for that tonight. Bless us this week and use us for your honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, folks.